It is February 13th, 2020. You're listening to Fancy Ramen, and I'm Neil.
I'm Kiki.
I'm Scott.
If we were streaming, this would actually mean something.
No, it still wouldn't. We're just waving our hands in front of the cameras.
We're not waving. We're like doing a quack motion with our hands or something.
Isn't this what the queen does when she rides down the lane?
Wait, really?
All her citizens? No, God, no. She would never do that.
Could have fooled me.
Once again, we have way too much talent and energy for a video medium, and we record a podcast.
Which we could have been streaming tonight. Could have been streaming.
Don't blame me. Let's just keep rolling forward.
So yeah, sorry. The reason I want to stream right now is because my internet's been acting kind of weird. Did you not see me like freeze for a moment there?
No, I thought that was some really good dance moves.
Ah, yeah, nah, I've been like freezing for whatever reason. So like late at night doesn't seem to work very well for this online thing.
I got you. Do you have Cox?
No.
Only one?
No. Yeah, I'm just not going to respond. Not going to respond to that.
Anyways, though.
Oh, Scott's having issues too.
What have you guys been up to?
Well, goodbye, Scott.
What have you been up to, Cookie?
I want Scott to hear this. Hello, Scott.
I'm back.
Yay! So the question was, what have I been up to? So over the weekend, we went to a speakeasy.
Hell yes.
Called Alice. Have you ever been there, Neil?
Whenever you talk about anything you do in your private life, I'm just like, I'm not as much of a hipster as this guy. I haven't. No, I don't drink a lot of alcohol right now. Or I haven't for a while. Too expensive.
That makes sense. But now one of Lizzie's friends was having a birthday party and she was like, we're going to a speakeasy. And Lizzie agreed. And I was thinking, oh, God, we're going to have to go all the way downtown. Turns out it's out west.
Hmm.
It's underneath what used to be the old upstream.
Oh, I think I've actually heard of this then.
Wait, old upstream. Is the downtown one not the new one?
No, no. Well, upstream is no longer...
Old west upstream.
Yeah. Because there's no longer an upstream out west.
Ah, okay.
It's now Jams.
Quality control, or maybe not quality control. I don't know what Jams is.
Oh, yeah, but no, it's just what the place is called now. But there's a bar called Alice down below it. And just by happenstance, for whatever reason, like the people we were with were checking out my tie. I was wearing a bow tie and it had flower print on it. And so I like untied it. And then we got like moved to the VIP section. And as I was retying my tie, the drunk guy beside us was like, oh my God, mad respect tying a bow. Sneeze. Mad respect tying a bow tie. And I was like, yeah. So I ended up getting it tied. And then he told us about him having his own like insurance firm. And he was out drinking with his parents and a bunch of other people who own their own insurance firms.
Trying to collect on their insurance by the end of the night.
And
you walked, you left with a new insurance plan, right?
No, he actually bought us two bottles of champagne.
Wow.
Yeah. There were five of us, and he bought two bottles of champagne for us. We were like, okay, cool. Free drinks. Thanks, Cookie. High fives all around.
So
very good. It is a nice bow tie. I'm pretty sure this is the one that... This sounds like the one that you picked up when I was in town for the wedding a year or two back.
No, maybe? I actually got this one in... oh, God. It was a mountain place that I went to. We went hiking in the mountains.
Yeah, somewhere in the Great West.
Yeah.
Or in Appalachia.
Appalachia sounds more for Correttes. But no, it's a nice... soft pink bow tie with little flowers, purple flowers, lavender flowers, like scattered around it. And it's really nice.
I just want to point out one quick thing. And that is, I won't be editing out that sneeze.
That's good. That's good. Because I even vocalized what I did by saying the word sneeze after sneezing. because that's what I do. Is that weird?
No, it's usually good. It's good for me because then I don't have to work.
It's an editing tag, more or less.
That's good. Because whenever I sneeze, I either go sneeze or I go nine. I like to just shout no in German whenever I sneeze. Don't ask.
I mean, most Germans like to do that too. It's not always characterized with sneezing, but...
So besides that, ended up finding out that I don't really like Logitech headsets. And SteelSeries is a great set of headsets.
This is not an advertisement at all.
But they are so comfortable. Like Lizzie's got the, I forget which SteelSeries one she has, but after like testing it out for a little bit for her computer, and now me being an Xbox person, I decided to get the SteelSeries 9X for myself, or X9s.
Mm-hmm. Are those an offshoot of the Siberia lineup?
I believe so.
Okay. Yeah, they're really good. I've only heard, well, I mean, in terms of PC gaming, video gaming headsets, I guess I should say.
Oh yeah,
but I only hear good things about them.
Yeah, they sound nice and crisp. Not like unfortunately like my podcasting setup good, but they sound wonderful. They're super duper expensive, and these ones connect to my Xbox One. So when I turn these on, it turns my Xbox on, and that turns my TV on. So I'm like most of the way there just by having to turn one thing on.
Now you just need something to put it on your head and turn it on for you.
Oh my God. If only my wife would be so kind.
I'm glad you took it in that direction.
And besides that, my other... purchase that I made was I ended up getting an Xbox Elite Series 2 controller.
How heavy?
It's a good weight. I really like heavy things, like my Logitech G502 mouse has all six weights in it. So I like to keep everything nice and heavy.
I don't like having heavy things, but in most respects. But I do like a heavy mouse. Feels good.
It feels real good. Neil, if you ever get a chance to feel a tungsten dice, do it. It's nice. Same with you, Scott. You know what? To all of our listeners, Overknob, I'm sorry that you missed this on Sunday, but if you're listening to this, if you ever get a chance to feel a tungsten dice, they're super expensive, but they feel so good. But yeah, besides that, I'll have more like... to talk about with the Xbox controller, probably.
You realize you have a shotgun mic pointed at you.
Actually, I should not do that.
You should not do
that. That's going to be things that are going to have you edit.
Yeah, that's like
I'm keeping this in. It's there.
Audio golds. But that's pretty much been my week. And my 2 weeks, I guess, because it's been a while since we've seen each other. Hi, guys.
It's been a week and a half, I think, right?
Yeah. Yeah. We only took a break so I could go on an impromptu snowboarding trip because the snow was so good.
And then I did not communicate well at all with Cookie about just assuming we'd wait until Scott were back. And so I was playing Aviary Attorney.
Which looks good.
I want to hear all about this.
I popped in on your stream for a little bit.
That's awkward and embarrassing.
I only saw about 4 to 5 seconds of a trailer for that game, and I was already very intrigued.
It's like Hatsufo Boyfriend, but with more class.
Well, and just the art style is very delightful.
That's all the class.
Hey, before we talk about this, though, Scott, do you want to fill us in on what your week has been so people can stalk you better?
If people want to stalk me, it's pretty easy. I live in a small enough town, and I've enumerated my my favorite activities outside of my apartment to like two things, and that is snowboarding and hiking. I haven't been up to much outside of the snowboarding. It was wonderful. Just super powdery. it has been way too dry around here. I don't know about the rest of the country, but at least where I've been at, we have not received like near enough snow. So I've only had this last time out and then the snowboarding vacation I took previously as opportunities to actually go out and enjoy like boarding on a mountain, which is, I mean, that's a pretty bad track record considering it's mid-February and most of these resorts close down in March.
I can tell that you live in an apartment. You want to know how I know? Because you want there to be more snow.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I don't have to clean it up. It can just pile up around me. I just put my dog on top of the layers of snow when he goes outside.
You on the first floor, second floor, third?
Second floor. Second floor above here. This will really help people stalk me. Second floor above the bike room. So I have no downstairs neighbors. And until recently, had very quiet, courteous upstairs neighbors. Now I have upstairs neighbors that are noisy as shit, and I had to confront once, and they were so scared they would not open the door. And I thought I was being very polite.
So they weren't home?
No, they were home. They were like making a huge fucking racket. And then it was past 11 at night, so I went upstairs to just like ask them to keep it down. I hear someone behind the door like literally yelling at the dog. I knock on the door, and it goes dead silent instantly. And I hang out for like a minute or two, knock a couple more times, and still nothing. And so I had to talk to the door like a crazy person and just say like, "Hey, I'm not stupid. I know that you're there. Can you please keep it down? It's like Monday night at 11:30 p.m. and I swear you're like turning over furniture. It's also very immature to not come out and talk to me. I'm not here to fight you." And I just went back downstairs.
Okay, question for you.
Please, I have plenty of answers.
Is that exactly how you said it?
That's more or less exactly how I said it.
Have you heard him in any other tones?
I was hoping that...
Neil, have you ever heard me angry?
I have heard you angry, and it sounds exactly
Neil
like
that. Sounds like that, yeah.
I played League of Legends with you. No.
Oh, that's true. That's a very different... That's exciting. It's excited or agitated, which is almost not angry, but a completely different mental state in which everything in my brain has an exclamation point tied to it.
Dealing with neighbors in an apartment complex is definitely weird.
I get along with all of my other neighbors really well. Like, I consider myself and Sierra to be super chill, and I consider most of our neighbors to be very chill as well. But these people above us have, like, they've opened a can of worms I haven't experienced almost ever in my living situations. And I've had other noisy neighbors I've just ignored, right? But I could hear these people through my earplugs when I was trying to sleep. That's a level of noise that is unacceptable.
Yeah, okay. That, I guess it's just that, like, when I think about interactions with neighbors, I immediately think of the first apartment I lived in, which was a converted house. And I remember how the landlady-ish, I don't think she actually owned the place, but she knew the owner or in some way was like helping the landlord, the owner, like manage the building. But she lived on the second floor, the top floor. And like the only interaction I remember with her was her texting me or calling me saying that there are people banging outside, like banging on her door outside. And like,
and you got that text message while you were banging on her door. And you immediately stopped and went back in, right? No,
like, apparently she was getting followed. And this is like the Lincoln UNL campus area, the downtown campus.
So a bunch of psychopaths.
She was getting followed by a guy, if not two, I don't really remember. And it was like the only time I really interacted with her, at least that I can remember. And it was out of sheer panic of hoping that I might be able to do something to help her in this scenario. And me being like this awkward 19-year-old kid, not knowing what to do at all. And just like, should we call the cops? Should I go upstairs? What if they're like there still? Because it was the type of building where like the door to the house was not ever locked, because then you had the hallway to all of the rooms/apartments.
Okay.
So, I mean, not that different from like an actual apartment complex that just doesn't lock the main entryway.
But that's becoming rarer, I think. At least most of the places I've stayed, it's like key to get in the front door, key to get in the unit door.
That's true.
But yeah, there were probably just some Monsanto thugs that you could scare off with a bat.
Monsanto.
Yeah, I don't know why I'm taking pot. I was recently learning about some of the research partnerships that the University of Nebraska's like ag science and research has done with Monsanto.
Which might not be the most trustworthy. Is that what you're implying?
I'd say might not be the best for like human civilization in a long-term view.
So I've actually, I feel like it's been a long enough time and that I'm no longer pursuing money from this venture anymore. So I feel like I can speak about this at liberty without any sort of
repercussions. Are you talking about our podcast? Are you telling me that our podcast is getting demonetized?
No. What I'm saying...
Not exactly.
What I'm saying is that I actually used to do some work for Monsanto.
Oh.
Or maybe not directly Monsanto, but like agriculture panels and meetings through another sound engineer who I won't name for, you know, because I don't necessarily know if they're still working together or not.
You don't want to find out that they've been hit in the face with a bottle of Roundup a couple days later.
Right.
Quiet.
But so I... when his plate was too full with other things, he would basically send me this audio that they would record like these hour-long meetings or panels. And basically my job was to go through and eliminate like...
edit out the word cancer every time you brought it up.
It was actually nothing nefarious. It was just like I would go and find these pauses or breaks they would have and, you know, not think to themselves, oh, we should maybe hit the stop button, the record button here.
Right.
So basically exactly what you do for a podcast.
Except it's even more excruciating because you can't even pay attention to the subject. At least I couldn't at the time.
And Neil's motivated to do it because he gets
because I'm getting paid. Yeah. Incentive. Yeah.
Yeah.
Which we can't say about this, can we?
Not yet.
None of us.
You didn't get paid yet? You didn't get that royalty check yet?
From Steel Series?
No, but I did get the Monsanto cease and desist just moments ago.
Just put them in your spam. I don't think they can't tell. No, I don't know where to put that joke.
I mean, I do really love that this has been one of the segments I've had the most fun with. Recording maybe in the past month, and we're still 10 minutes out from talking about video games.
We are.
Welcome to
because
the Fancy
what have
podcast.
You been up to, Neil?
Work. I'm going to actually just make that backfire on you because I don't have to talk about anything but video games.
I was kind of hoping, you know, this was a 4D chess move right here.
I have been watching a couple different people stream some From Software games.
Ooh.
So some people you won't know, but I can throw the shout out anyways. It's like Mikey Dudes. Mikey, as in like Mikey Dudes.
Mike Tyson-y Dudes?
Multiple Dudes, if you want to think of it that way, plural. Mikey Dudes. He was streaming Bloodborne. And then someone you would know, Jay Frey All Day, was streaming Sekiro again, because he dropped that game pretty early.
Like
in his first playthrough.
That is too bad because I think I've found the ultimate motivator to play Sekiro, and I'll talk about it a little bit later in the pod.
Well, for me, one of the biggest motivators is watching people do poorly in these games. And not necessarily do poorly. I'm actually joking and not. I am actually not trying to throw shade at John. Like
he's already turned it off. He's already given you a call.
Well, so he cut his stream pretty early, and he was having troubles with the first captain
rooster. Oh,
the first.
Geez. Oh my god, those roosters were fucking difficult.
What are you talking about? Are you being serious?
No, they're so easy.
Those giant fucking birds.
I think you just gotta get the jump on them first. I think maybe that's the biggest thing. I never found out what the rooster moveset was because I hacked them to bits before they got the chance.
Oh yeah, don't find out what they do.
It's like crows in Bloodborne. If you actually let them initiate what they're doing, it's bad news. So you just never give them that chance.
It's good to know now that I'm not playing that game anymore ever. Thanks.
Become a birderer.
I think you should. Okay, so I will note that watching the two games side by side made me kind of wonder if I would still have the same amount of joy playing either game and versus each other, which one I would like more, because I haven't played Bloodborne since basically release. Mm-hmm. And I haven't played the DLC yet, so maybe I'll do that sometime. I'm thinking
I was just you should definitely play that DLC.
Yeah, well, I was just
it's great.
The day at work, how good that DLC was. I was reminiscing going up an elevator into a big fucking fight. No spoilers there. There are plenty of elevators. You'll never know when it happens until you get that first you died. But I was just thinking about how good of a fight it was.
Man, and I was just reminiscing earlier today about The Undertaker.
Do you mean the bad guy? Is that The Undertaker?
No, WWF.
Oh.
Yeah, I thought we deviated.
So, I'm thinking about going back into Bloodborne. I've also been watching a lot of people play Resident Evil 2, and that's been kind of fun to see, like, people's pseudo-first interactions in some cases, and then in other cases, people that are really experienced with the game and playing on, like, hardcore and new, doing no-item box playthroughs, which is pretty interesting to me from the fact of, like, you have you obviously apparently have to take notes and figure out, like, okay, when can I pick this up? And when can I pick this key item up? And do I have to sacrifice or just not pick up this item because by doing so, I would no longer be able to pick up the key items I want with the healing items I have or need or whatever.
So these people are even, like, calculating in their head. They're like, I can't pick up another piece of ammunition yet because I'm going to need it later.
I'm not sure how deep you would go to that extent. Because, I mean, that's an interesting thought because, like, the director aspect of Resident Evil 2 will make enemies harder if you're hoarding up ammo. But does that work if you haven't used the ammo, but it's there still, if that makes sense?
Yeah, like calculating both on hand and then global ammo.
Yeah, that's an interesting thought. So I can't speak on that ground if they get that far into it, but it maybe. I know that there is, like, a weapon that you actually skip because, and you skip all the optional upgrades that would otherwise increase the size of the weapon because you need that inventory space.
Mm-hmm.
So that's everything I've done outside of actual gaming myself. On the gaming side, as we alluded to earlier, I've been playing a lot of Aviary Attorney on stream, and that is if Ace Attorney, Phoenix Wright, were about animals set in, like, pre-French Revolution era. What is that, like 18 something? But in France, sure. Basically.
1723.
That is totally not true.
In 6 days, 4 months.
So you play as JJ Falcon, and you are a falcon with a suit on. And
what's his name?
JJ
Falcon.
Yeah, I didn't want to go full French there, because obviously there's, like, a lot of French names and French.
Cinema.
Settings, items, locations that you will go to, and I managed to butcher most of them during my stream. But all of the characters are animals, but not within the strict sense of, like, they're forced into human bodies, like interspecies sex review or whatever that new Funimation anime is.
I think we were thinking Hotiful Boyfriend.
I mean,
definitely was thinking Hotiful Boyfriend.
Okay, so the problem with Hotiful Boyfriend is that it's totally 100% of the way there, as in that, like, it is just strictly the animal, right? Mm-hmm. It's like a picture or a drawn over photograph of the animal, right? Mm-hmm. Whereas this game takes on a little more of an artistic approach where it's still, like, anthropomorphic, but only so much. Like, your Falcon still looks absolutely like he's got a bird's anatomy, but he has a suit on still.
Mm-hmm.
And like, the cat is upright, but still absolutely looks like it's basically a cat from like an anatomical sense. And I also want to illustrate, because the game exists in a world that Phoenix Wright exists to begin with, it doesn't have to dilly-dally on like having super simple cases. Instead, I mean, like, the cases are relatively simple, but there's always a catch, it seems like. Like, the first case, when you think it's totally shut and, you know, like, or what's the term? Shut and closed?
Open and shut.
Open and shut. Thank you. That's when it does like a twist at the end that is not only like satisfying from a standpoint of like, oh man, this case is really too simple and plain. I guess it's not. But it's also a good motivator to push you forward, because it gives you some context to like the world that you live in, which is, you know, corrupt France, and the clientele that you potentially will look into. And the amount of choices that the game gives you certainly feels like you can impart upon your own personality, or at least to some extent, onto Falcon. By the way, your Watson, if you will, to Falcon's... well, he's not really...
He's lackey.
Yeah, he's not really a detective, I guess, so it's not like he's Sherlock Holmes, but at the same time, he's kind of like the attorney equivalent to Sherlock Holmes, except he's not really that well known. He's kind of considered sort of like a subpar lawyer. You're an attorney, nice. Defense attorney, of course. But his lackey is named Sparrowson, and he's just a sparrow with a suit on as well. But obviously, all of these other animals are not just birds. There's cats, there's frogs, there's reptiles, there's hyenas, foxes, all sorts of great things. But the big thing about the game so far is that I feel like it does, or I'm assuming it's going to pull into its historic roots and use that as part of like the overarching theme to the entire narrative. And I'm assuming that, you know, we're going to see some things happen to the bourgeoisie at some point here soon, and maybe some guillotine action going on, which could definitely spice things up even more so than they already are. But it's super charming. I love the writing. There's a few times where like the writing is maybe a little weird. It doesn't necessarily roll off the tongue as well, but you could attribute that to one, being in like a quote unquote fake French accent, or two, it might not even be an English game to begin with. So like, you know, anything that has to run through a translation obviously has the hurdle of having to be rewritten in a way that is that flows.
I was
wondering like what else I'd played, and then I made a really dramatic oh there, but I've been playing .hack Infection.
Mm-hmm. Which, ooh, that's a good one.
Yeah, I don't know if I've ever talked about this game. I might have talked about .hack.gu, but the entire concept of .hack is sort of Sword Art Online in a way.
Original.
And
OG.
So I'm pretty sure Sword Art Online came first. Not necessarily in like its full published version, but I think chapters of SAO were released online years before .hack came out. I
really?
Could be wrong.
I think you're wrong. .hack just seems so classic.
Yeah,
Sword Art isn't.
It totally is a classic, because .hack is, again, about getting trapped in the video game, but kind of in a different concept. In .hack, which is a conglomerate at this point, you have .hack Sign, which was the precursor anime. You have .hack. You have .hack Liminality, which is an anime that goes at the same time as the .hack games. You have .hack GU, which the GU has many possible meanings, so I won't elaborate there. And then you have the .hack GU anime that happens prior to .hack GU. And then you have the .hack GU movie series, which covers the events of .hack GU. And then after that, you also have .hack, not after that in terms of like chronological release date, but I don't know, .hack Twilight like of the...
Wasn't there like an afterlife as well?
Maybe. There's .hack Epitaph of the Twilight, or Legend of the Twilight, or something of the Twilight.
Ooh, Legend of the Twilight was good.
There's .hack, if you're into that like bro syscon thing, yeah, sure it is.
What about the, did you mention the one where they were actually going they were doing, covering everything happening outside the game world.
Yep, dot hack liminality. Yeah. There's dot hack. Anyways, there's a shit ton of dot hack games. And it's kind of a shame that, like, it doesn't really seem like they've done a proper release of a new game since then. They've done, like, a fighting game and a PSP game, but we all know how we feel about PSP games or Vita
games.
They were
awesome. Universal... Yeah. Hard drive? No. What were the universal discs that the PSP had?
I don't fucking know.
Were they UHDs?
UMDs? I don't.
UMDs. Universal Media Devices.
In any case, though.
I just like the fact that the name was universal.
Dot Hack.
Very proprietary.
Infection is the first of four games that encompasses the original Dot Hack series, and the series is about people that, when they die in the video game, they fall into a coma. So no one actually gets stuck inside of the game, at least not in this game. Whereas in Dot Hack Sign, someone does get stuck inside the game. But that's a different story.
Completely different story.
But what's fun
Log
about
Horizon.
This? Oh, that's another good one. That's actually
That's the best one. Lizzie
Is
can't
it really?
Stand, Lizzie can't stand Log Horizon because it's too politicky. But they like get into like government, land owning, the fact that in order to survive, you have to eat in the world.
I have to cut you off real quick here and say that we did like a whole 20 minutes on Log Horizon, like maybe 30 episodes ago.
Hey, man, I fucking love Log Horizon. I actually rewatched it recently.
I concur. anyways, Dot Hack, your friend falls into a coma. You have to play the game and hack the game in order to save your friend, or at least that's the premise. But because you're not tied to the game, you can also go out and go on message boards and talk about the game or get hints from the game. You can also email friends and party members that you've met throughout the world. And it's just sort of fun interacting with like this fake MMO and being able to like make parties with these people and get to know them better and get emails from them and find out fun things like, hey, this little girl character is apparently a housewife, and like, spoilers, but later on in the game, she stops playing basically entirely because she had a fucking kid. And that means That's you cool. only have two healers left. Oh, guess what? One of them is dealing with some fucking weird problems because he's obsessed with another character in the game. So he goes and fucks off on his own for a while. That means you only have one healer left. Oh, shit.
My only problem with the entire Dot Hack series was you're always futzing around with a fake internet when these games came out at the same time as one of the games I'll be talking about, Phantasy Star Online 2. There was actually games where you could play on the internet.
So they made a Dot Hack Online game, and it was called Dot Hack Fragment. It just wasn't very good because Dot
that was
Hack
online.
Is, yeah, yeah. Fragment is totally an online version of Dot Hack, but the problem is that Dot Hack as a game is not necessarily very fun or designed to be a good MMO.
Oh, it's designed horribly. With
yeah.
It's awful. Have to go 17 tabs deep. And it's teleportation system where you have to like
use
randomly...
three keywords.
Yes.
There's a lot of stuff in this game that I don't think has aged well. And one of those things is having to open your menu to cast a spell.
Yeah.
What? Mind blown over like the inconvenience of that. But like at the same time, like the game at its core, which is, you know, more story driven and with like some grindy parts, it's still fun. I still totally have a soft spot for it. I like the cast. It's also how I got my in-game name Kite, is from the protagonist of Dot Hack Sign, or not Sign, but Infection, Mutation, Outbreak, Quarantine.
GU.
GU is Haseo.
Oh, was it? I could have sworn GU was Kite.
No.
Oh, okay. Doesn't
it's technically Kaito, which yeah. is Phantom Thief, as we know because of Persona 5 now. That's my Dot Hack tangent. Oh, I played a Coffee Talk some more, and like the
How's it feel?
The rough writing continues to be rough, and I continue to ask myself if the like illogical conversations that people have in this coffee shop can be chalked up to it being in a fantasy world until The writer character who frequents your shop to get ideas for writing brings up the possibility of writing about a world that didn't have all of these different species and was just humans. And another character's like, well, that wouldn't be very interesting. It'd just be a bunch of humans that love each other. And she'd be like, no, you know what? I bet even if there were only humans, they would find ways to hate each other. And like the other person's like, and how so? Well, maybe differences in skin color, in language, in culture. And like the game is just fucking shoving this into your face.
Have you ever been hit with a mallet before, Neil?
It's like
just, you know, one good blow to like the temporal lobe.
And in that same, either that same day or the following day, there's an interaction where there's a character that you serve at the very start of your shift, a drink. They ask for their drink and they are just fucking on their phone, minding their own business, as three more characters come into the coffee shop and start talking and introducing themselves amongst themselves, and even go so far as to like talk about one of the characters' relationship problems, which seems extremely weird.
Very open.
Considering this one person just, you know, met one of the like one of the two and the protagonist like 2 days ago, and then this other person just met. And
you don't go to random coffee shops and talk about your deepest secrets with just people.
I mean, I like the idea of doing it at a bar because you get inebriated, right? Like the whole premise of Red String Club and Valhalla is that you're getting drunk, and when you're drunk, you tend to spill the beans a little quicker. Mm-hmm. But so this fourth character, the original one that was there that has not said jack shit, ends up leaving, and the three other characters are like, what's her story? Gosh, who was that? Did you know who that was? And I'm just like, that's like the typical fucking coffee shop patron right there. Like, when I go to a coffee shop, I get my coffee, and if I'm staying there, I probably have a laptop for whatever reason I need to do work, or maybe I just want to chill there and get out of the house. I don't fucking tell the coffee shop person about my like long, exhausting day at work and how I'm thinking about, you know, eloping with my succubus girlfriend because I'm an elf.
What?
I don't think this is an example of Neil's day.
Right. I don't talk about being a model, a vampire model that's been modeling for 30 years, and it's like the shortest job he's ever had.
I've been vampiring for 30 years and modeling for another.
I mean, there are points where I think like the game is interesting and it has its perks, but I feel like you honestly could just fucking get rid of the coffee making and it would have no impact whatsoever. It'd just be a visual novel. And I think that's one inherent problem, because Valhalla, there was like a purpose to figuring out what people wanted to drink, and there were consequences and benefits to giving them the right drink, and sometimes the drink they didn't want in a beneficial way too. And in addition to that, sometimes after your night at work, you would go hang out with other characters, and suddenly you get this freaking ridiculous long dialogue that is literally ripped out of Metal Gear Solid, in that like you have the two portraits side by side with the dialogue in the center, and it, you know, like the game does weird and funny things, and I'm not getting that through coffee shop. And the most demoralizing thing that happened to me was when I sat down to play it last, it has a progress percentage or something to say like your progress, and it was like 50%, and I was like, what the fuck is it supposed to be good? Is it going to get better through the last half of this game? I can't believe I freeze through half of this game within like three play sessions, one of which I streamed for only like an hour, and the other two times were basically like I got home at 10 o'clock from work and now I'm gonna play for an hour, and suddenly I'm already halfway through the game. And there's like go ahead.
I was just gonna say, is it fair to say that you don't know what the like what the main story beat is yet?
The main story beat, like, that's the thing. It at first I was wondering, which I was really hesitant in believing it could even be a possibility. And I was also like really not wanting the idea of this being like a pseudo dating situation where like the barista chooses one of these girls, right? And I mm-hmm. don't think that's the case. It doesn't seem to be going in that direction, but that was on my mind. It seems like this is just a collection of weird small stories between different characters that don't necessarily feel like they're going to have a good resolution.
So at 90, you're saying at 90% progress, your expectation would be that these small stories are going to start wrapping up sequentially.
Maybe.
Or do you think that something crazy is going to happen? Like, was that game called 777 that you played?
999, dude.
999. Yeah, like where everything starts like intertwining and shit.
Dude, do you want to watch some 999 after this?
No, I was actually going to play some Children of Morta after this. I'm sorry.
Oh, it's fine for you anyways, though, because I think it would be better to play Eye of the Somnium Files, just because I think that's a better game, honestly. But 999 is definitely more complex. Speaking of which, yeah. have you sent that to Cookie?
I have not. I need his address.
Speaking of which, have I given you my address?
You have not. It's sitting on my coffee table.
All right, I'll email you. I'll send that to you tonight.
I'm going to probably go do the mail errand on Saturday, so you should have it in your hands pretty shortly.
If you don't have like the cash to spare for UPS or whatever, USPS. No,
I got it.
I was just going to say, I could ship you the cash.
No, I earned the money that I need to send Cookie the game by learning the dance and performing it with my hat out downtown.
But hold on. I mean, that's a fucking good dance, but I ship you the cash. I ship you the cash. You take the cash and pay for the packaging, but also save some for the packaging to send me the change back with the same cash. Man, I really wish there was a more convenient way to send money that wasn't through mail.
I'm going to call it Sendmo, since you're sending me money.
Are you telling me that there's an app that could do that?
I mean, wow. The hardest part is to our like Sendmo plan is if I ever need to remind you, I have to spend more money to send you a reminder.
Venmo, if you want to pay for an advertisement right here.
I was actually just wondering, did we get sponsored and I not know? Because this is a great little skit.
I mean, it was good until I couldn't keep a straight face.
We are bringing our A game tonight.
Oh, that coffee talk, that's all I have to say about that. That's all I have to say about video games.
Okay.
What did you guys play?
Hey, Neil, did you ever play Phantasy Star Online 2?
I haven't, because it's on beta for Xbox only right now, I think.
It is on beta for Xbox, but did you know it's a remake? What? Phantasy Star Online 2?
It's a remake?
Or was it just Phantasy Star Online, the game?
I played PSO 1. PSO 2, as far as I've been able to read between the lines, this is not a remake. It's just it's a port. No?
Yeah. Yeah. So Phantasy Star Online 2 originally came out in 2012.
Right.
You never played it?
No, because it wasn't available in the States.
Oh, shit. I was in Japan. Okay. That makes sense. Hi. I did not realize you never played that. It's like so up your alley.
Yeah. I was one of those people that was like, why the fuck doesn't Sega bring this over? And it's been seven fucking years. It's been 8 years now.
And I was one of those people that was like, oh, this game's great.
it's crazy because I see people reviewing PSO2 right now like it's a fucking new thing. And it's like, dude, no, this is
so as I was watching the intro, I was like, man, this looks exactly like I remember it from way back in the fucking day.
Uh-oh.
No, it looks good. It's kind of like watching Final Fantasy IX's like cinematics.
Yeah,
I mean, that doesn't mean anything
like
to me,
the pre-rendered cinematics are like What's another game that's got really good pre-rendered cinematics?
Final Fantasy VIII.
Final Fantasy VII?
You still have Super Deformed Cloud there. And Final Fantasy VIII, when like you get the zoom out from Balam Garden.
That was nice.
Like, and you're still moving super pixely, polygonal squall, but like everyone else looks really good.
Yeah. That was a good shot. It doesn't matter. But either way, nah, it looks, it feels good. Felt good and felt great from what I got to play. I played the first like 3 or 4 missions, played maybe for like 3 or 4 hours. I dicked around in the overworld for quite a little bit. And it feels like how I want these type of MMOs to feel. So for those who don't know, Phantasy Star Online 2 is a instanced MMO to where you get your overworlds, kind of like if you play Destiny, the main place area that everyone met up, or if you played Monster Hunter, the main place area where everyone met up.
It would be almost fair to say that it's Monster Hunter.
Yeah, it's basically Monster Hunter in Destiny, but it's got a better system for when you're out into the field. So when you actually get out into the field, think of it as like smaller corridored areas, but with the feel of Destiny, how they had like just random people just doing other missions and things, just popping in and popping out as they instanced into your area. So it still did a lot of that. And it just felt, since it wasn't completely just a Destiny was first person shooter, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Since it wasn't just like a first person shooter, it felt like you could do more than just shoot at a thing. It's a fantasy RPG online
game. You can
slash
shit. You can,
yeah.
You can cast magic. You can run up a thing's arm to attack its head.
Exactly.
Like, the thing about Phantasy Star Online, and I could be wrong here, but I'm pretty sure PSO predates Monster Hunter. And Monster Hunter drew a lot of its influence through PSO.
No, I could definitely see that.
Though Monster Hunter adds, obviously, a lot of elements to it. PSO2, though, is obviously going to be more of PSO, but it does incorporate a lot of the improved gameplay, more interactability with your enemies, more action-y movement, better movement overall. I've watched a bunch of gameplay of it. Like, I mean, because I was looking at this game back in 2012, thinking like, man, I can't wait for it to come out here. And it never happened, obviously. But yeah, it's still being played. They had a crossover event with Final Fantasy 14, maybe like 2 months ago, if not a little later than that. They had, I think, a Persona 5 or Nier Automata crossover too at one point, or something like some weird ass crossovers that you wouldn't expect from a game that's 8 years old, but like it's still striving to some extent.
I was going to say, I can't wait for it to be re-released, and it's just enjoyable. I spent my time as a summoner, so I got a little cat thing that was named Wanda, because I unfortunately couldn't rename it.
Wanda Sykes?
Basically, I really wanted to name it Syrup, because I named my main character Maple. So you maple syrup, which I unfortunately did not make up myself. I got it from a new anime that I've been watching. I didn't feel like getting hurt, so I maxed out all my defense stats.
What?
That's the name of the anime. It's great, by the way.
I thought like you meant that in the game, and I'm like, I didn't think you could choose your stats.
No, you cannot. But no, so the game is, it's good when it comes out. Like I said, played a couple of hours of the beta, and it felt just like I remembered it, walking around the overworld to get assigned new missions, and how just being in the overworld, they'd be like, okay, cool. There's a red alert in this area. All summoners are all like people in the arcs over this level should report to this office, so that way you can instance down and fight this big ass boss, do this raid type boss. And it's like, oh, that's like a really nice way to do it, rather than, you know, just having a random thing. So like when you're actually out in the world, they'll be like, red alert, this type of enemy is around, or yellow alert, this thing is happening over here, need you to go do this random fetch quest that just happened to spawn in, and all of a sudden you see a bunch of people just like flood in, because they're all like, oh, this is something else to do, I'll do that while I'm on my mission. Besides that, play just a little bit of that. Oh my gosh. Haha. I also beat After Party.
Should I leave the room?
I know the hard part is I think both of us really want to play it.
So
I want to hear, I guess, your endorsement, if you liked it.
Or lack of endorsement.
Yeah.
Okay. So here's what I'll say, because I know you guys want to play After Party. It doesn't really matter
if you spoil it.
No, like, so the feeling I got after beating it the first time was that it doesn't really, like, it just didn't matter. So when I was first talking to you guys about, like, oh yeah, there was this big mystery on like how they died and what actually happened and things like that, it's like you find out and it's like, huh, okay,
that's, it's not revelatory, it's just,
yeah, like, it's just like,
oh, extra info,
that's how you guys died, cool. And they're like, after watching the full credits roll, if you, how did Oxenfree's second playthrough, like, how did that work? Did you have to like start a new save file?
No, you can just roll off of the original.
You just rolled off the original. You don't do that on this one.
It starts you off on your own.
It's all wrapped up.
Yep, it starts you off on your own thing, which they really should have just been like, okay, this is what happens. This is a continuation of the story.
It's interesting that they'd almost regress on that then, right? Because Oxenfree already solved it by saying, like, they essentially take the keys out of your hand at the end and they go, you're gonna play this over again.
Are you saying it's like near B to C?
No, it's like, just you've made all your choices. There's a thing that happens that I was like, oh, that's actually pretty cool. I didn't realize I was so biased this entire game, but I guess I was. And then the credits roll, and then you start a new game, and it's quite literally just now you can make different decisions.
Does it feel? Did you beat it the second time through?
No, I don't think
so. No,
right?
I got about halfway through making different decisions, so I get to see more of hell. But it's also just like, okay, now I'm just experiencing slightly different subplot stories, but all the main story beats are exactly the same.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
So I don't think I will beat it a second time, because what I really wanted it to do, I know it's not going to. And the whole ending after maybe I should beat it a second time, because I guess I don't know if they will still do the thing. No, I'm not going to beat it a second time. It's short.
Is there like absolutely no payoff to the natural conclusion of After Party, and like the nature of, sorry, go ahead.
To the ending I've seen, because I know the endings can change ever so slightly depending on how you do your final drink off. So
are you getting better at drinking by drinking in hell?
No.
Or is it more like Fallout 3, you choose to send in your best friend to drink and die for you?
Or it's more like all of the... God, who's Fisher? No, not Fisher, because that's Sam. God,
Sam
who's
Fisher
this,
from Tom
Clancy's who's the space guy from that has the N7?
Oh, that's Shepard.
Shepard. Yeah, it's pretty much
Shepard.
The Shepard last ending of did you max out everyone's stats? This is the party that you're going with.
Mass Effect 2.
Yeah, this is the party that you're going with. And depending on what you choose, they're either going to be helping you or not helping you throughout.
Getting eaten by bugs because they're a weak biotic.
Yeah, pretty much.
Are you telling me that maybe like other people drink in your stead during this drink off? Or,
well, during my drink off, just due to the fact of
that you don't do side quests. No, I'm joking.
So this game's about partying, right?
Yeah.
What do you do when you've got a friend who parties too much?
You sit him down, you get him a glass of water, and you say, hey, let's take a break for a second.
Now,
and then you go and you finish all their drinks that they've left halfway completed because it's your turn, baby.
So before you veered way off course.
Okay.
So now just assume that everyone in hell is basically doing that, and yet your main goal is to get out of hell by out drinking the devil.
Drink Sorry. Harder?
Sorry, no, I really do
spoilers,
think that,
I guess, at this point.
No, we know about that, right?
Yeah.
You're out drinking the devil? Oh, yeah. No, there's like the subplot of... Neil, earmuffs off. Earmuffs off.
I don't know. I'm really not sold on this game.
Oh, no. It's... I don't really advise it. It's... I'm going to give you a spoiler.
Alright, I'm going to... Just in case, okay. I'll...
Okay. Scott, you have to hear this, though.
Okay.
I'm sorry. So, that's Scott, fine. It's an intervention.
Okay.
Like, you do all of this stuff to basically... You're hearing about these rumblings of people are trying to shake things up in hell because hell's just been the pits for the past, like, millennia. And it's because Satan's not happy, and so he's just been partying his life away. So everyone's just like, we're having an intervention. But your two main characters are like, we still want to get out of hell.
Mm-hmm.
But do I try and outdrink him now during this intervention?
Yeah.
So I outdrank him. And then it was like, oh, cool. These are the two characters. They're no longer in hell. And they're talking like, they've moved on with their lives. They're adults now. And they're like, yeah, we're probably going back to hell because we released demons and undead people into the worlds.
Oh, okay. Didn't because expect that. I kind of thought it was just the guilt of being bastards for taking advantage of someone when they're down.
Anyone who is on your team gets out of hell.
Okay.
Which tells you, which makes you think, okay, cool. The second playthrough is they've died again. And obviously it's a continuation of the story.
Okay.
That just makes total sense, right?
That clicks, yeah.
No, it's literally just they get out of hell, credits roll. You get a nice little wave from the people that you took with you out of hell, whether they be a lost soul or demons.
It really does strike me then that there has to be an alternate ending for, I guess, cooperating with the intervention. Do you feel like there's an option there to do that?
Yes. And that's like the only thing that pulls me to maybe beating it a second time.
Yeah, I can see that.
But like...
I also feel personally attacked that Neil's not listening, but he's shaking his hair at two people who don't have any hair to shake back. That is frustrating. It's some real bullshit.
It is some real bullshit.
Go right ahead.
Could you guys hear me eating?
And that's how you got chlamydia in the game. Oh, wait. Did you put your headphones back on? Sorry, spoilers. My bad.
Yeah. No. Neil knows that's not a spoiler.
But yeah, either way, those are my thoughts. Those are my inner thoughts right now, Scott.
Okay. I honestly think that would warrant a second playthrough.
You think that? Okay. Yeah. I'll go finish it.
Or at least a venture out to good old YouTube to see what the spoil is.
I've beaten so many games that way. Why didn't I think of that? I don't have to sit through this again. Yeah, you're right.
Coming in clutch with the advice that I always take whenever I look like another 30 hours in a game dead in the eyes and I go, I'm not having that much fun.
Not today.
Yeah.
I found though, like, is it not fast just to play through the game a second time through? Because it's not like you have to read most of the dialogue, right?
Well, if you're doing it the way I'm doing it, because
if you're doing it a different way, then
so you can choose option for your first little mission. You can choose option A or you can choose option B.
Oh, I
takes you to this part of hell. One takes you to this part of hell. I chose option A, so now I'm choosing option B.
I think that there is one really big question that I want to ask that hopefully Neil is interested in as well. When you played this game, what did you think of the soundtrack? One of the things I thought was just like a cherry on top for their previous game was the soundtrack was so good. And at least the two trailers that I listened to for this this game, After Party, gave me a different vibe than Oxenfree's like sound design, but it was like this very dirty like electronic synth that really liked. So
it's just basically you're in a club listening to different tracks depending on which part of hell you're in. It's nice. Like, I don't mind it. Like, I'll just sit in the intro sequence because I like that beat because it's a banger.
Mm-hmm.
And then if you hit A, it does like the sound effect of like a bottle opening. So like, it's got that like, yeah.
Yeah.
And then like the cap kind of hits the glass bottle as well before it like clinks on the ground. So you get all of that and it's. Nope. And
clatter.
It's wonderful.
I don't know how to make a clatter sound. Oh, well. Oh, okay. I know what you're talking about.
But yeah, nah, it's okay. It's like it's got some bangers, but honestly, I will say just getting to try out more drinks is fun. Kind of hearing what you're going to say to things, because I haven't had like a bad outcome.
Gotcha.
For what they're trying to, like, I don't think there's an actual fail state of this game.
Okay.
Because
like, fail states are a failure of the game developer.
Well, I don't know. I mean, if you choose the poop your pants drink and that ends up taking you down a route you didn't expect, who do you blame?
Oh, no, I drank acid. The drink was called Buzzkill and it just said acid, literally acid. And I was like, you know what? I'm going to go for that one this time mm-hmm. around. And my God. That made that character so fucking saucy and just like, God damn, you're vicious. Like, this is just mean now.
Okay, but yeah, and that's right. The mood or mind-altering components of the drinks, do you find that to be at least like fun or entertaining mechanic as well?
Yeah. It's cool. It's,
are you
I wish,
exploring different drinks then?
Yes. I wish I could talk to more people. So, like, I wish I could have just, like, a conversation with a random person in the corner while mm-hmm. having the drink option. But if you talk to someone random in the corner, it's quite literally just, they say this, you say this back, they say this, you say this back.
Okay.
And I guess the one other thing is, like, even after fully playing through it, I feel as if both characters had two completely different sides to them. Because mm-hmm. when I wasn't controlling them, you got to feel like their personality.
Mm-hmm.
But then as soon as I was controlling them, I didn't really have an option that would seem like something they would say.
Right. There was no like default option almost to take where it's like, just let the writing, you know, like continue without my input.
Yeah, just like, because the chick, she doesn't like parties. She doesn't like crowds. And not one time, I think one time they gave me the option for her to refuse having a drink. But honestly, it was much better when she actually had the drink because I played both options.
Because gotcha, we all know you're cooler
you're more
when
fun
you drink.
When you drink.
Yeah.
The drink that
sponsored
she could
by
have,
Budweiser Seltzer.
The drink that she could have was called a permanent vacation. And quite literally, as she drank it, she's just like, whoa. And like butterflies formed around her head. And then, like, built a lei out of thin air and stuck it on her head. And she was just chill and fucking mellow for, like, the next 5 minutes of the game.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah. But, yeah, those are my thoughts on the old
party.
After party.
So you're really saying that she is more fun when she drinks?
Well, everyone's... in that game is almost everyone. So no, I can't say that because then I kind of underhook the thing I spoiled. So hi.
this is me. I might be saying a spoiler now, but my assumption is that the game is actually not about drinking and controlling yourself. Not necessarily that exactly, but I have a feeling that like the act of drinking has some sort of effect that you're not necessarily supposed to be doing or some negative effect to the game. Am I correct?
That's a good question. I don't think so.
Okay.
I know.
I felt like that would have been like a really cheap plot twist. Like you're fucking playing Escape from Candyland and you, in order to escape the gingerbread man, you have to eat a bunch of candy. You have to out-eat him in candy. But the lesson was actually to not be a fucking glutton. Stop eating this candy, you fat kid. Like
the gingerbread right. man.
He got it right, Scott. He got it right 100%.
No, that's it? That's literally fucking it?
At least the ending I saw was that was kind of it.
It's like
you're pretty close.
It's like yeah, they it are... A, oh, God, I think that's bad writing.
They sat down and had an intervention with the devil during the final drink off.
They're okay. That's a little different. But yeah, no, that's still.
But they're like, we want you to stop drinking. You're drinking too much. And my two main characters are like, we still want to get out of hell. So
drink.
And they gave you the choice of continue with the drinking contest. Don't continue with the drinking contests, and I wanted to get out of hell, but during this you got a choice of your helpers. They basically got to say, hey, I know I promised you I'd help you, but it feels kind of shady. So, and then it gives you the choice of help us and or go with your gut at this point. I chose for all of my people to go with their guts because, you know, I felt bad doing the drinking contest while everyone around me was like, dude, you gotta stop him from drinking more.
Yeah, I mean, that, I don't know.
I did have a couple of instances in the game where I felt bad with the decision I made just from like a moral standpoint of like, ooh, I don't feel good about this decision, but I'm going to lean all in.
Ha! But I really liked Oxenfree, but looking back on it now, I think there were a lot of like false dilemmas or rather forced dilemmas where like there is absolutely a decision that you can make to appease both the childhood friend and the new stepbrother. And yet the game presents like a false paradox or not false paradox, a false ultimatum, which is like you can only be friends with one of them. in this part of the conversation, and that kind of feels shitty. And luckily, it's not a big part of Oxenfree. Like, in fact, the narrative doesn't rely on those things to really matter outside of an epilogue, which is, you know, nothing. But I am concerned, and it maybe is the case that they are using that sort of decision making as a much more important aspect of After Party.
Which is what Scott was kind of saying. I should play, do a second playthrough, see if it still ends in the fucking what's the word I used a second ago? Intervention. And if it does, take the intervention route and kind of see what happens that way. See if it ends differently.
If you get the devil to stop drinking and like straighten out his life a bit, then I'm sure you might even end up in his better graces.
Favor.
Yeah. And then you'll become a zombie. And then Leon Kennedy's going to shoot you.
Yeah, but like the entire game, they just keep saying, hey, Lucifer's not happy with his gig either. He doesn't make the rules. He just has to enforce them.
Because
God makes the rules.
He's a mall cop.
Basically.
It's a shame.
So we'll see. Hey, I'll finish it a second time and do what the lovely Scott said and just YouTube it.
What else have you been playing?
Besides that, a lot of Slay the Spire, and I just got on Children of Morta today, which is very beautiful. It's a roguelike, and that's as far as I've gotten so far. I've heard nothing but good things about it. Oh, and I re-downloaded Dreams on Lizzie's PlayStation 4 because there have been a shit ton of videos about that.
Is that out now?
Yes, apparently it's either just came out or is coming out tomorrow. But I paid for it to have early access. Played with it for a little bit. Was like, oh, this is cool. But it didn't actually go into like the Dreamscape. And if you have a chance to watch some videos on Dreams and what people are already doing in it, I'm pretty sure 90% of it is garbage.
Well, yeah. RPG Maker in a nutshell, right?
And more. So they kind of described it as, so RPG Maker.
Oh, no. I don't mean like what Dreams is. Oh. More just that like you give someone a creative tool like Minecraft or RPG Maker or anything, and 99% of the stuff is going to be garbage. But
basically,
it's all about how they curate and if you can find the 1% that's actually fun or at least funny. Like, is that presentable? Is that out there for you? I mean, I guess it's so early in... I'm not sure if it's...
The way they're describing the Dreamscape, yes, because you'd like... There's like, oh yeah, you know, you kind of just start with like a keyword, and then you get to... If you like something, you could say related things and things by this creator, and they're like one of the like creators they ended up hiring, who was one of the creators who was in the pre-game... pre-alpha that paid for it, they ended up hiring him for a job because they were like, oh, the stuff you keep putting out just gets better and better. Do you want to be a content developer for our a curation station or whatever? So, and it looks gorgeous and different. So,
I mean, that is pretty sweet.
I'll have more to talk about on that later. Just decided I was like, oh, that looks cool. So I want to like explore what other people are doing, because what I was doing was just super garbage and trash. Because that's just me. I'm a garbage trash man. But those are my video games. Hey Scott, video games?
I'm actually ready to wrap it up. Honestly, my video games. We're gonna get deep into the conclusion of the Somnium Files.
Wait,
did
we not?
Time we record,
do we not cover this?
We haven't spoken about it at all. And there's no way we fit it into the end of an episode.
And we do need to get you to like, we need to do like a spoiler cast in some sense, because if you wait for Cookie to finish it, not saying anything like derogatory about Cookie's finish, like gameplay finishing abilities.
It's a long game. It's, yeah. Even though Neil was, I think, right on the money saying it's roughly about 30 hours of gameplay.
32 to 36 hours-ish.
Yeah, I think that's like a very, very good... I think I came in at 30.
I'm going to beat your record.
30 clean. Yeah, you can try and beat it. I dare you.
It's not hard to speedrun.
I'm pretty confident, though.
That I'm not going to finish it? I'm going to be like, oh, God, I still have to read?
No, so that is the thing. The you don't have to read almost anything.
It's awesome.
Yeah.
And the voiceover is very, very good. If there's one thing I can give this game... If there's one thing I can give this game credit for of, like, very much surprising me, it was just how high quality the storytelling was without me actually having to read. Because once you use that autoplay setting, it pretty much makes it where you can put down the controller and, like, cook dinner during some parts. Like, if you keep the controller nearby, you can kind of let a lot of these dialogue heavy or like exposition heavy elements just play out while you're actively doing something else.
Nice. Well,
yeah,
we will. You'll have to get that sent to me, and I'll gauge you when I get it about how long I think it'll take. But I am gonna be going on a long road trip. So that should, like, knock a lot of it out.
That's true.
All right. That was it for Fancy Ramen Podcast, episode 149.
Oh, sorry. Before you go.
No.
Before you go, there's a show called Lock and Key. It's white people doing stupid things.
What? Wait, so Netflix. It's just reality TV?
No, I was going to say not. It's like me... walking around every day.
No, it's a fantasy show about a family who live in a mysterious house full of keys. The family's last name is Locke, and the keys do lots of things. So there's a key that'll take you anywhere, a key that sets things on fire depending on where you put it. Well, sets everything that you touch it with on fire. There's a key that lets you go inside your mind, keys that let you become ghosts.
Just to make sure, is this actually like a key that you have on a key ring, or is it like a sword?
Yes. No, it is not a keyblade or a keychain. They are actual keys, and it's like... So when I say white people doing stupid things, the first key they find, one of the first keys they find are like a key that allows you to stick it inside of a mirror, and then your reflection starts doing creepy things like smiling at you and beckoning you to come in. So the little boy sticks his hand in and he's like, huh, hey, mom, check this out. This is cool, right? And then the mom's like, I'm going to trust this, and walks in to the mirror. Like, why would you do that? Like, Scary Shit 101 says, don't walk into a mirror ever.
So after entering the mirror, did they meet up with the teddy mascot looking thing and then have to fight themselves, their shadows?
Nega Scott was there, basically. Yeah. But no, it's just like a lot of poor decision making on this family's part. Like,
is it a comedy or a drama?
It's a high fantasy.
Mystery?
Okay. Suspense.
Okay.
Yeah, mystery, suspense, fantasy type thing. It's good, but white people making terrible decisions, like moving into an old style Victorian house that no one really likes and people say is haunted, and then weird things happening, and then staying in the house. It's like as soon as the boy like called down to the well and was like, hello, are you my echo? And a creepy voice came up and said, yes, I am, Brody. And it's like, I would have been like, hell nah to the nah, nah, nah. Hell to the nah.
Seems yeah, legit.
Should I be uncomfortable that we're playing with the trope of black man yells at dumb people in scary movie to stop doing what they're doing?
Oh, I do it all the time in this fucking show. It's like, why are you doing this? This is not a decision. What? That was... What?
It's only through the privilege of being a beautiful white person that you can just be like, this thing that seems dangerous probably has no consequences, right? Like, there aren't consequences. And they, you know, walk into said deadly mirror or respond to creepy well ghost.
Speaking of that, I actually had one of those moments the other day. Lizzie was outside with Ollie while he was going potty, and I like started up the car. We were leaving her parents' place, and I kind of like look around and I don't see Lizzie or Ollie. I get out of the car, I call out, and then I still don't hear anything. So what do? I start walking away from civilization through the yard to see if I can find my wife and dog. I don't, you know, get in my car, lock the doors, hope and pray, and call her on her cell phone. What a normal black person would do. No, I went to investigate.
It's the white people rubbing off on you, man.
Yeah. Oh, no. You've been gaslit.
I don't condone this at all. All right. Yeah. That was it for episode 149 of Fancy Ramen Podcast. Sorry. If you want to email us, you can write in at podcast@fancyramen.com. I say that so fast that you can't even get it down.
podcast@fancyramen.com.
I mean, I'm sure, you know, there are so many podcast listeners that are at the 1.25% or time speed. I'm sure we've got one person who's rolling at 0.75% speed so they can get a little bit more of the dulcet tones in our voices. We stream on Twitch, almost all of us, except for me, really. You can find us at twitch.tv, Fancy Ramen TV. Our buddies play at Artie Strongman with the spaces underscored Artie Strongman, Cookie Skimilk, and Jay Frey All Day. Yeah, please tell your friends and family about the podcast. We are so close to commercializing. You can hear it in the quality of this episode.
Does that mean I actually have to use your audio this time?
I'm looking at you, MeUndies. I'm looking at you, Bombas. I need new clothing. I need new articles of clothing.
You
listen
know what?
Here,
I'm low key hoping for purple. We don't
That's
even
a
need
mattress
a mattress.
Company,
we don't
right?
even need a mattress, but fuck it. Let's go.
If we can start stacking them like in The Princess and the Pea, I might be interested as well.
All right. Ooh. Have a good night, everybody. I am getting
Have a good
off.
Night.
Third love would be great.
That's a weird thing to say.